Yeah, go ahead and shoot.
Okay, thank you. First, let me tell you, I appreciate this very much. I know it's taking some time away from what maybe else you could be doing. But I find the more fellows I talk with, the more information I'm going to have. I'll ask you, I don't know, maybe a dozen questions or so, and if you would just please answer as long or short as you want to. And if you don't want to answer something, don't. Or if you want to add something, please do.
Well, I hope I can remember.
Yeah, it's been a while, I understand that. Your bonus amount was announced at $100,000, was that correct?
Repeat that, I didn't hear.
Your bonus was announced at $100,000, was that correct?
Well, yes and no. This is all deferred money,
mm-hmm.
with exception of the first year's wages. And part of it was reserved and paid to my dad. So, got all together, you're pretty close.
Okay. Yeah, I've found that very, very few of the fellows I've spoken with got the actual amount that was announced,
right.
One way or another. Who scouted you for the Braves?
Well, there were several people. The main scout in this area at the time was Ed Danzisek.
Spell, please.
Yeah. About the way it sounds, Danzisek, I believe.
Okay, that sounds good. I can probably find it in some source.
Yeah, I don't think so. It should show up somewhere.
Yeah.
And there was an area scout for the Midwest called Whit Matthews.
I remember him. Who was the actual... Was Danzisek the actual signing scout, or was he just...
He was present at the signing.
Okay. How many teams were after you?
Well, that's a little bit difficult to say. If you're talking about bona fide offers.
Yeah,
or
basically.
Who were saying, you know, we want to talk, you know, that kind of stuff. So there's about four or five.
Okay. Were there any other legitimate offers, bonus offers?
Yeah, Kansas City... maybe an offer which was beyond the one I accepted from Milwaukee.
Wow. Kansas City was very reluctant to go after the bonus boys. You must have really impressed them.
Well, in retrospect, it probably would have been the wise thing to do, too. There were a lot of reasons why Milwaukee seemed to be the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the ability to probably stay in and play was maybe better at Kansas City in retrospect.
Yeah, you were signing with a top team, and Kansas City had a lot less talent, but Milwaukee was the home team.
Right.
That must have been a big influence.
Well, right. 25 miles down the road, you know, these people were guys a couple years earlier who were sitting in the stands watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got a weigh heavy.
And it was important in their minds, too, to sign somebody from the state to this kind of contract.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good public relations. You were at the University of Wisconsin on a basketball scholarship, is that correct?
Well, yes. If you call $200 a year for a basketball scholarship. But at that time, tuition was $90 a semester, so, you know.
Oh, boy. Times have changed.
Right. So that was a help. A bigger help was the ability of the athletic department to get me a job. That's more sustaining.
Yeah. How long did you go to there before you signed?
Went through my junior year and signed it after my third year.
Did you go back and finish?
Yep.
Good. Do they have their baseball record, you think, on file there?
I would think so. Now, they just went through a very traumatic experience there last summer where they abandoned baseball.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, right. Very sorry mess, really. They had to dig. Something had to give, I guess, from what I understand.
Economically, I mean?
Yeah, right. Baseball has never been a self-sustaining sport, and
no.
There are a number of other ones. You know, they just don't do it.
Well, Wisconsin has turned out some awfully good players over the years.
Yeah, right. Some very visible ones over the years, but their fortunes haven't been great the last... 10, 15 years, and expanded schedules where they, you know, they play early and they play long, play twice as many games almost.
Yeah.
So,
well, I didn't realize that. That's a shame.
Well, it is, and I don't know quite how the Big Ten schedule is going to fit next, you know, this coming month, because they might have one team.
Yeah, those schedules have been made, too.
Right.
I'll be darned. Well, live and learn. Well, when you joined the Braves, do you know whose roster spot you took?
Ultimately, the person to leave, if I'm ironic, is Chuck Tanner.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, he was fringe. Very few are aware of who they replaced, and a lot of the teams scheduled that they signed the boys, but they didn't schedule them to join the roster until September 1st, which I guess was pretty sharp.
That was partly the case here. It was June 10th or 12th after I was done with my final exam.
Right. Yeah, you joined them very early in the summer.
Right. I signed about 3 to 4 weeks earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several moves made during a time I'd worked out with them prior, so I knew a few of these faces. And I had to assume from what I read and picked up on that was Tanner was the last one to
mm-hmm.
a position player. Officer.
What kind of reception did you receive from the veteran players when you joined the team?
Well, I would say as a whole, pretty decent. It was probably less, you know, at least less verbally said than I would have expected, you know, was to be negative.
Mm-hmm.
That would not be a complaint of mine.
Good. The Braves had been relatively active, not like the Pirates or the Tigers, but they had signed several boys, so you weren't really breaking ground, which
no,
I guess would help.
In fact, they signed Bob Taylor
mm-hmm.
the time I was signed.
For a couple bucks more than you, but
right.
That's a lot of money they put out there in a
right.
couple
was,
weeks
right out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I had the advantage, or disadvantage, depending on how you look at it, of playing, you know, 3 years in college, but also maybe 3 years older.
Well, did age in the... Excuse me, in the maturity, which we'll get to in a minute, that's got to have been a problem for the kids.
Well, right.
Did the older players, the veteran players, help you?
Well, yes and no. I don't ever remember receiving any direct help from any player who was involved in my position. You know. Sitting on the bench, obviously, there are times when you're talking about baseball and situations where you would learn from someone, you know, trying to assist you.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit guarded. You know.
Yeah, nobody told you to.
Much. Especially true a little later when I played, I thought the lack of information from one player to another about the pitcher and the circumstances of the day we were playing, you know, I think some of these guys they kept their own thoughts about the book on the pitchers.
Mm-hmm. I guess self-preservation.
Well, right. I think there's a lot of that in it. It took them a while to get there. At best, they wouldn't share a lot of it, and circumstances probably less.
Yeah. What about the coaching? A lot of the fellows I've spoken with, primarily the pitchers, but some of the position players too, said that the actual coaching was almost non-existent.
You know, I think you're right. It's something that I've stated to a number of people who can't believe what they're hearing. I learned almost all my baseball at Madison, really.
Huh.
And I think I probably suffered from the fact that I had to enter at the top level and then move down a few pegs to play, you know, later in the minors.
Mm-hmm.
I think someone maybe who, I always felt this anyway, who began as grassroots, you know, D or C ball, probably learn more at minor league camp because they're starting from scratch.
Right.
At the major league camp, they assume a lot of things.
This is what the other boys have said. It's assumed when you're there, you know what you're doing.
Exactly. And the other factor at major league camps is that so much of it's PR. You know, you're on the field for 8 hours doing 2 hours of work.
Right.
So that the people can take pictures and talk to you or about you or with someone else. I'm very inefficient from a professional, you know, team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe that's changed, I don't know.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I know what you mean. And I think there's some things that just sort of hold their own, and that may be one of them.
Yeah.
How about Fred Haney? Was he helpful? Was he welcoming? How was his attitude?
I thought a little reserved. I felt that, obviously, ultimately, the responsibility of operating the team was his, subject to management above him. I probably was received better and encouraged more by some of the coaches on staff.
Mm-hmm.
Fred really, he's his own manager and obviously a good one. But, went with the big boys, played for the big inning, really protected his pitching, the big three he had. I didn't fit into those plans, obviously, at that time.
Was he consulted about signing you? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
He was so, but as the main things, it's quite possible he was never even asked about it.
Yes, this is a question a lot of the fellows don't know, but in many cases, several cases, they say that a couple of fellows have said that they showed up and the manager said, "Who are you? Why are you here?" That he didn't even know what was going on until they threw this baby-faced high school kid in with him.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it was quite that severe, but it was minimal acknowledgement at best.
Okay. Well, you mentioned Bob Taylor and that you were 3 years older. What does it show on the record? You get considerably more playing time. But one of the things, when I first talked to Jim Smaller when he first suggested a book on the Bonus Babies, he said his biggest problem was not necessarily the game or the acceptance or anything. It was the fact that when he was home in high school, he had to be home at 9 o'clock at night. And on graduation, he signed with the Tigers, and I think he said he went to New York to meet the team, and here he was, 3 days out of high school, and he was expected to eat in restaurants and tip bellboys, and he said the adjustment was the very most difficult thing for him. Was this, you were a little older, was this a problem for you?
I don't think, in relation to what you just said, it wasn't as much of a problem. Obviously, I didn't stay in any big hotels and tip people, things like that, until I got involved at the professional level.
Mm-hmm.
But had been exposed to traveling, playing on the road, playing on different fields, different facilities. I think that helped, and plus being a little older. So I was away from home for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like just walking out of your house into Major League Baseball.
Okay, but
I think that was probably an advantage that I would have had over, say, a Bob Taylor who came right in from wherever he lived.
Right. Where he came from, a small town here. I'm in Kentucky, and he was from a small town here in Kentucky, so he must have had a pretty difficult time. You at least were a city boy and a college boy.
Well, I had at least some preparation. Probably not classified as a city boy, per se, out of a town of 5,000. Close enough, metropolitan Milwaukee area.
Yeah.
A little bit of that exposure, and spending your way at college for 3 years, it all helps.
Yes, it does. I've got a son right now who's a sophomore in college. He's a pitcher and would love to play, but when he got out of high school, he was hoping to be drafted, and I was hoping he wouldn't be because I knew he would want to sign, and he wasn't. He was crushed. But anyhow, I can see just the 2 years from high school to now that the difference in maturity, I couldn't possibly imagine him having gone away from home and been on his own at any level.
I think it's a help. You make some of your own decisions.
Yeah.
And I think that leads to some confidence in your ability, whatever.
Yeah, that's got to all help. Do you recall your first game?
Yes. Against the New York Giants, I'm not sure what date it was. It was shortly after I got there. Pinch hit one of the later innings of the game. Got a scratch single off of Stu Miller, who threw the ball about 70 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that, I guess.
Okay, well, that's a good start.
Yeah, it was. I was nervous, obviously.
Well, I bet.
after I got on base, I'm more nervous than staying at the plate. I started realizing what's going on.
Did you score?
God, I can't remember. I did a lot of pinch running that year, so I probably scored a lot more runs than I had at bats. You know?
Uh-huh.
Because of the nature of that kind of team.
That was a good team. There's no question about it. Did you get a World Series here?
Yes. That was interesting. I had been there, you know, most of the year outside of spring training and the first, you know, month and a half. And obviously was not involved in any major effort by the team. But I was given a third share. And I was really forced onto the roster. I would not have been on the roster had not been an injury to Bill Brook. And that was a matter for the commissioner's office, I believe. So by nature of being on the roster, obviously something was forthcoming. And a third, I thought, was reasonably generous.
Yeah, that was. The Braves had kind of a rough history. Back in 48, before the bonus rule that affected you was put into effect, Johnny Antonelli was kept on the team at 18 years of age, and he didn't contribute. I think he may have won a couple of games just in here and there stuff, but he was not voted a series share, and the commissioner stepped in and I think awarded him a half a share, something like that. So the Braves had been, of course, this was a few years before you, almost 10 years, but they had not been particularly generous even into the 50s with awarding the extra money.
Right, and they had a few guys who didn't fare well in the system, if I remember right.
Yes.
I couldn't quote any names. Johnny Antonelli, I got to know being in baseball.
I'm sorry?
I said Antonelli, I knew.
Yeah.
Some of the rest of these guys had come and gone really fast.
Yeah, they were very free with the money for a while. I don't know where they got it when they were in Boston, because they sure didn't couldn't afford it. Okay, the next year, let's go to the World Series first. You pinch ran in the World Series.
Right.
You remember that?
I think it was kind of a token effort to make sure he got in game, you know. I had no problem with that.
Yeah, well, it got you there, and that a lot of guys never do.
Oh, right.
The next year, the bonus rule was rescinded, which I guess probably had to be beneficial to the fellows that were allowed then to be sent down. You went to Atlanta.
Right.
Didn't exactly set the league on fire, but you had a useful season and got back to Milwaukee at the end of the year. Is that right?
That's correct.
You were up and down, what, 4 years, 5 years?
Yeah, in 58 I was in Atlanta and then back up at the end of the season. Jacksonville in 59, back up at the end of the season. Louisville in 60, and we were playing after the season was done in the major league level. And which is probably my most satisfying professional year.
Mm-hmm.
And in 61, I was with the parent club, and 62 in New York.
Did you get what you considered to be the proper opportunity?
Well, yes and no. That's a hard question.
Right, I know.
Because if someone plays a professional sport for 5 years, that certainly should be an opportunity. You know, no big deal. That's plenty of time under most circumstances. But I never felt that people who were involved with making some of the decisions, I always felt they were experimenting. You know, I got to Atlanta, got off to a pretty reasonable start. Walked into a very political situation, which I obviously had no idea what was happening. Atlanta was probably the most fickle sports town in the USA,
mm-hmm.
Maybe still is. Anyhow, longtime owner, reluctantly working with a major league team, you know, with taking some players, but making some of his own decisions on the side, buying players from other places, was really a volatile thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the expectations in Atlanta were very high. The team wasn't fulfilling them, the fans weren't turning out, the wheels were constantly turning, and you're getting advised, well, you better start pulling the ball more, you better start doing this or that and everything. And those are things I thought affected me. That if I'd been left to do the thing the way I'd gotten there, fine. But you start fooling around with your stance, start fooling around with your approach to hitting, and pretty soon you aren't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I had several stretches during that season which were bad. And this is the response, you know.
Yeah. I lived in Atlanta several years ago, and there doesn't seem to be any in-between ground. Back when I was a boy there, I lived there too for a while. The team either had to be good or nobody cared about it.
Exactly. And that is probably a long time feeling.
Yeah. I think I think it's still there. And that's unfortunate. Was the tree still in center field when you were there?
Sure, there are a lot of them out beyond the fencing.
Yeah, but the one that was still in the park.
Oh.
Was that there? That was when I was a boy. There was a tree.
What year was that?
I'm not much. Let's see. I've got your page right here. Okay, I'm 5 years younger than you are. Let's see. That would be late 40s, maybe, when I was a little kid. I remember the tree was in play.
I don't recall that. There was a bank of signboards in right field, first, which is probably there forever.
Right.
And the long shot was to left center. Center field was pretty deep.
Yeah.
And I don't remember. I remember seeing trees back there in the background, but they weren't in play.
Okay. I know it was taken down somewhere along the way. Somebody eventually ran into it, which of course had to happen someday. But
interesting ballpark.
Yes, it was. And it's, of course, it's gone the way of all the old ballparks. But I used to like to go out there when I was a little kid. That's neither here nor there. You joined the Mets. They drafted you for their inaugural season.
Right.
How was that experience?
That was an experience.
I can imagine.
Not so much on the field, lots of other things, too. For example, I'd never gone anywhere in my 5 years of baseball where you didn't get some assistance in looking for housing.
Oh, really?
We got to New York and buy a newspaper.
Oh, boy.
I mean, that's really something. I could not believe this. The lack of organization, I guess some of it would be rightfully so. But their efforts there were entirely different. Houston and New York joined the same time.
Right.
And it struck me, anyway, as to how much of the drafting was done and much of the playing performance later on was Houston went after younger ball players for long term, and New York went after names to get people in the park.
Right.
And, they really didn't have to do that. That ballpark was sitting in Harlem, where at the time you're going to get 20,000 people because there's nothing else to do anyway.
Right.
But they were really under the gun. Casey Stengel was, I don't know what he was in his peak. He was an interesting character when he was there, but I mean, this was too much for him. This was beyond him.
Well, was it Spahn who said he's the only man who played for Stengel before and after he was a genius?
Yeah, right. That's about right. the guy would come out in center field and start talking about some rock that was out here when he played in 19, whatever it was. And, it wasn't a passing comment. It was a five-minute discussion. really fell asleep in the dugout one night. I was had to carry him off a plane in Houston because it was late flight, and I felt sorry for him.
Well, I think he was to draw the people, too. I don't think he was there to actually manage the team.
I think he was doing a favor to George Weiss,
mm-hmm.
of course. And it was just a strange time, I thought.
It sounds like it must have been. What about, was Roger Swansby the hitting coach?
Sure.
His reputation, I guess, was pretty... pretty rough. Was it that way?
Well, I didn't know him from Adam except reading about him for, you know, many, many years and admiring him from afar. But my admiration took a pretty good dip after getting to know him.
That's what a lot of people say.
Because the guy had one thing on his mind, according to what we could see, was walk to the batting cage, watch batting practice, and go sit down. And if you didn't like that, tough luck. And if you were in his way when he sat on the bench, you'd kind of yell at you. He was not contributing anything I could see, except maybe filling contract obligation.
Yeah, showing up every day.
We had a whole bunch of people like that. Sally Hemus, I'm not saying like Hornsby, but people who were really cast in the wrong role.
Mm-hmm.
All ex-managers and ex-all-stars. And Cookie Lavagetto was another one. And, God, I'm scratching my head for a few more, but we had a whole crew of people who were pretty good at second-guessing Stengel and explaining what he meant after he'd have a clubhouse meeting and leave. Well, this is what he really meant. It was, if you could have taped it all, it would have been hilarious.
Well, books have been written about it, and some of them are pretty interesting.
Yeah. It was a strange place.
I think it frustrated everybody who was there.
Really, and these old guys, you know, they were just hanging on, Ashburn and Hodges and, you know, another names like this were really in a deep decline in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing Gus Bell, was hitting about 110. And these are all nice guys, and, you know, put over the hill, and they were hanging with them early in the season and getting pounded.
Yeah, well, they got pounded all year long. Was that your last season?
Yeah, right. Real interesting circumstances regard to that, because when I was cut from the roster, I had no options left. In those years, you got three options from
mm-hmm.
Major League team. So it was my situation where I would have to cut a deal with Syracuse, which is where they were sending me, trying to.
Mm-hmm.
And I had held out for 2 days for $10,000 to go to spring training. And I was told before I left Los Angeles that night that if you want to go to Syracuse, it's $5,000.
Oh, boy.
Whoa, really? And I got my ticket. I was supposed to be going right to Toronto to meet Syracuse. And I got my ticket changed to have a stopover in Milwaukee. And I came home to sit on that little idea for a while. So it was really weird. They brought a guy in to replace me on the roster who was under the diathermy machine when I left. I don't know if he ever pitched for the Mets the whole time he was there. I remember his name. He got Baltimore. Stengel was very apologetic. Oh, you'll be back in September, and blah, blah, blah. But I never got an answer to why am I leaving. You know? What's the problem? Certainly getting a guy to replace me who can't pitch doesn't sound like much of an answer.
Not a step forward anyhow.
Yeah, right. This is just juggling to see you're doing something or whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, I stayed home. Went to summer school back in Madison started work on advanced credit. And kind of waiting out to see what would happen with regard to any contract offers. And there really wasn't any. They did call me after September when they could expand their roster to put you back on the roster. And I didn't know quite what that meant, and that would have really screwed up some things I was doing at home, so I passed on that. And that was the last.
What did you... You went and got an advanced degree?
Well, I started to. In September of that year, then I joined the Equitable, which is a firm that has a major league pension.
Mm-hmm.
And stayed with them for about 7 years. I had picked up my degree a couple of years earlier, so I had that. But I was working on advanced work. I went back to school night 61 to start it, and then summer school 62. So I was about halfway to a master's degree. And I haven't moved any further on that.
Enjoy it?
Yes and no. I liked a lot of what we were doing, but there was enough of the crummy things in regards to night work and a family of 3, 4, 5 kids along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to be a real hassle, and there wasn't enough real progression in the business for me, so I eventually bowed out. But it was an excellent experience, really. You learn a lot about yourself.
So, I can imagine. What have you been doing?
Right now?
Yeah.
Last 23 years I've been the Park and Recreation Director here in City of
Portland. Oh, I knew that. I heard that somewhere. That would seem to be a pretty rewarding.
Well, it is. I think the situation that needed, I thought, a little bit better control to begin with. I was close to the situation having lived here. You know, and, it was an area that was very much akin to my school experience.